Something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
All right, here we go. Welcome to a Wednesday night. It is Nicole Sandler here at Radio or Not. RadioorNot.com is where we're streaming live. Still doing the Ustream thing, working on other solutions for streaming stuff. I see Tall Cool One is in the chat room. It says, phew, made it. Well, I just made it. Not for lack of trying either. My computer, it was acting up today. So I thought, well, let me reboot so I don't have any bugs or anything. And none of my programs would come up. I mean, literally, I'm looking at the clock and it's 5:59. And but now everything sprung into life and we're cooking. All right. We are going to have fun tonight. I hope at least until 9 o'clock Eastern when the president takes to the TV. Yes, he actually takes to the podium in front of in the House of Representatives in front of a joint session of Congress to deliver his first official State of the Union address. Yeah. And your guess is as good as mine is what he's going to say. We have a good show for you tonight. And as I told you last night, we will do an extended program tonight. Now, if you go to radioornot.com, that is the new website. Now, don't do the, if you had the old website bookmarked, get rid of the bookmark because we have a new and improved, beautiful website. Again, put together by the wonderful Heather Chase, who has been working diligently with me ever since Friday. So, you know, what you're seeing on that site was thrown together in a matter of days. I mean, really quickly. So, and all the props go to her because she did such an awesome job. And it's still a work in progress, but we're getting there. And the forum is now live. So go to Radio or Not, all one word, radioornot.com. And at 9 o'clock, I'll be in there as well as on the air. I'll pull in the stream, at least the audio stream, of the State of the Union address. I will keep the microphone up, and when a comment needs to be made, I will. I will keep an eye on both chats. You know, I use the Ustream chat. I use the Tom Hartman chat. Thanks to Tom Hartman, who's given me administrative privileges in his chat room. So you can go to tomhartman.com and click on his chat. There's always a great group of people in there. And then during the State of the Union, I will also have the new forum at radioornot.com going, because that, you know, that stuff will be there for posterity. So all of our comments about the State of the Union address will live on in infamy, as they say. All right, we do have a jam-packed show for you tonight. Leading up to the State of the Union address, we will speak with my favorite activist, David Swanson. So we will get his thoughts on what Obama's done so far in his presidency and how he can possibly redeem himself tonight. So we'll talk to David Swanson. I recorded an interview a little earlier with a guy named Gregory Koger. He is a political scientist who teaches American politics at the University of Miami, and he's got a book coming out on the filibuster. And, you know, we've been talking about the filibuster here for a while now and how to get rid of it. This guy literally wrote the book on the filibuster. So we'll hear from him if we have time. In the next hour, we're going to check in with a dear friend of mine. You know, my music proclivities. Well, my friend John Ondrasik is the guy behind the band Five for Fighting, right? You know the band, and I'll play some of his music throughout the night. And he's just a great guy. He and his wife too, Carla, is awesome. When I was going through the process of adopting my daughter from Kazakhstan. This was before John became the star that he is. His wife went around and collected money and got all kinds of donations, both money and donations in kind, for me to bring to Kazakhstan for the orphanage. I mean, that's just the kind of people they are. Well, John, now that he's a super successful rock star, does so much in terms of good causes for people. And he's got a series of CDs out for the troops. And his For the Troops 3 just came out. It is Stand Up for the Troops, and it features stand-up comedy. So we'll talk to John Ondrasik in a little while about this project. And in a little bit, I'm going to speak with Sarah Saylor. She's a senior legislative representative for Earth Justice, because someone's got to stick up for the planet, right? So she'll join us to talk about the Environmental Protection Agency and some protections they're trying to put through. You know, the Clean Air Act actually came into being during the Bush administration, but like everything the Bush administration did, it was sort of a reversal. You know, they called it the Clean Air Act, did nothing to help clean air, right? No Child Left Behind. Well, they were left behind because it was never funded properly. You get the idea. So anyway, it was oxymorons, you know, like military intelligence. Anyway, so now Lisa Murkowski, the senator from Alaska, wants to stop the EPA from regulating greenhouse gas emissions in the U.S. You know, it's all the whole corporate takeover of our country that's happening. So we'll check in with Sarah Saylor at earthjustice.org in about a half hour. And find out what's going on there. So a lot of ground to cover, and we do have a long show for tonight. Usually I do 2 hours, and for now I'm doing it Monday through Thursday just because there's so much going on. So again, there is a lot of ground to cover. What I thought we'd do to kick off our special State of the Union party show is play you some moments from State of the Union addresses past. Well, like this. This is one of my favorites. Yeah, it would help if I turned the pot up. All right, take two. This is one of my favorites.
Members of Congress, the President of the United States.
To build a prosperous future, we must trust people with their own money. We must not allow this to happen. With all the other pressures on their finances, American families should not have to worry about the federal government taking a bigger bite out of their paychecks. There's only one way to eliminate this uncertainty: junk medical lawsuits. Next week, I'll send you a budget that terminates or substantially reduces quality health care. For the security of America and the peace of the world, this Congress must pass gas. God bless America.
All right. Now, yeah, okay. The audio was a bit jumpy there, but you get the idea. Somebody, and I don't think I put that one together. Someone obviously had a sense of humor. But I did take some clips from some of George W. Bush's State of the Union addresses in years past. For instance, this was 2001. You ready? This was George Bush's first State of the Union address.
A balanced budget, big surpluses, a country at peace with its neighbors.
Yeah, that's how he inherited the country, with a balanced budget, big surpluses, a country at peace with its neighbors, and he blew it. So let's fast forward to the following year.
Our nation is at war.
Yeah, thanks, George. I wonder why. And then to his final State of the Union.
So long as we continue to trust the people, our nation will prosper, our liberty will be secure, and the state of our union will remain strong.
Remain? That was 2008.
So tonight, with confidence in freedom's power and trust in the people, let us set forth to do their business. God bless America.
Oh, yeah, great. So George Bush took, he inherited from Bill Clinton.
A balanced budget.
Yeah.
Big surpluses.
Yeah.
A country at peace with its neighbors.
And he squandered it. And in 8 years, he ran this country into the ground. Now, you know, I am not the biggest supporter of Barack Obama these days. I'm really upset with a lot of his policies and the way he's governing. You know, he is a centrist Democrat, leaning further and further to the right every day, so it seems. And I guess we will find out a lot more this evening on what he intends to do to turn things around. So I'm not comparing Barack Obama to George W. Bush. All right. That's like comparing roses to, I don't know, skunk poop or something. You know what I'm saying? It's two different universes. However, you know, I remember where we were a year ago at this time, and we were so full of hope and so full of, yeah, you know, the fierce urgency of now. And here we are, you know, waiting for the president to come on TV in just under 3 hours and tell us how he's going to make things better. The thing is, you know, again, I'm reading that book, the FDR book, Nothing to Fear. And I think about the squandered opportunity that he had. He had the chance to really turn this thing around, and he blew it. Pure and simple, he blew it. He blew the chance to get meaningful health care reform. It'll really be interesting to see how he's going to address that tonight. What he's going to say about how to get it done now, because it's pretty much died, right? All right, what else do we have? Someone in the chat room mentioned that the other night on his show, Mike Malloy mentioned this program. And Benedict at Large in the chat room just posted, breaking news, Rahm Emanuel to deliver the State of the Union address. Yeah, you know, I'll tell you one thing Barack Obama could do to help win back his base, the support of people like me. That would be number one, get rid of Rahm Emanuel. Anyway, one of the people who was here, I guess it was Monday night, called in or sent an email to Mike Malloy, telling him about the show. And Mike graciously mentioned this program on his.
21 past the hour. You know, when I talk about the handful of left-leaning programs on, I'm usually referring to the ones that you can get over the air or via satellite radio. There is another handful that are struggling. Jeff Farias and the old Sarge and Bob Kincaid at HeadOnRadio.com, HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. And I keep getting emails about a woman who has a blog and I guess an internet program named Nicole Sandler from South Florida. Nicole Sandler. I know that she was in the rock and roll end of the business. But apparently she's been filling in Air America before they went belly up. Susan in Squim, is that how you say that? Squim, Washington, said, Mike, don't forget Nicole Sandler. She was Air American. I think she really is very left-leaning, but I don't think she's a socialist the way we are, Susan writes. She is now totally online at radioornot.com with web radio and video live casts 3 to 6, Monday through Thursday. 3 to 6, Monday through Thursday. So if you want to check it out, let me know. Radioornot.com, Nicole Sandler. Kathy says she's heard of her.
Okay.
So I don't mean to miss these liberal talk programs that are still going out there. Head on Radio Network, of course, is the one I'm most familiar with. Bob Kincaid, as a matter of fact, has contributed a huge chunk of equipment to this program to make it happen.
I can use some of that.
And, you know, I've had a lot of contact with his co-producers in Australia. I think that's that was the proper way to put it. And his program is usually streamed by White Rose Society, a rebroadcast immediately after this one. So, our show. So if you know of liberal or left-leaning programs that are just struggling, let me know, especially if they're just internet. We'll talk about them, try to get some people to check them out.
Anyway, that was very, very, very nice of Mike Malloy. I guess he hasn't heard the show, but he said Kathy did. I am a big fan of Malloy. Nicole Sandler, but wait, on second thought, if someone airs your taped show, I guess you would. I would what? Oh, anyway, this is my problem. See, I like keeping the chat room open so I can interact with you guys, but I do get distracted. See, I'm still feeling my way through this whole internet radio thing because doing it myself, again, when I have a guest on, I have to call them when we're live on the air. And even Mike Malloy mentioned that the Head On Radio Network gave him some equipment. I've got equipment, but the equipment that I have here is good for, say, a production studio, not necessarily for a live show. So I've got one, computer output, so all the audio goes through one channel. So if I'm playing a song, I can't just call the guest on the phone. And anyway, that's behind the scenes stuff that I'm working on all this stuff. But hey, we're putting it together. All right, here's what we're going to do. How about I'm going to play you a song because I can do that now. And we'll come back and talk in a few minutes with Susan, is it Sarah? Sarah Saylor of Earth Justice. All right. And I told you John Ondrasik from Five for Fighting is coming up in a little while. Here's one of my favorite songs of his that was never a hit, although you will recognize his voice. And should I play one of the hits? All right. Come on, people in the chat room. Tell me, should I play a hit, a song that you might know, or one of the songs you don't know? First one who writes in either Tom Hartman's chat or the Ustream chat and tell me to go with a hit or a non-hit. Cap'n Krusty, yes, it is not good enough. Surprise us. All right. You know what? I'm going to play one of my favorite. I'm going to go with the non-hit because that's the way I roll. This one's called The Last Great American. It's Five for Fighting on Radio or Not.
Mr. Mary cries in his coffin. Oh, for days he says he can remember. And through the town, some pallbearers sing old songs of a beautiful and purple mountain. From every walk of life, we've come to see the last great American. Now present you the speaker, friends. He was a man of men, yeah, a man of gold. It had a, how do you say, ethical accents. That's when the president started to giggle. And the children gave the blessing, though the service would have done. For the last great American. Wait, it's time for my coffin. Wait, yeah, it's time for my break. Wait, time.
we bow our heads. He pulls the lid on down, and his stone is red. Here lies old Mary, the man with the heart so spent that in this day and age he's sick of living and still judges. Of the last great American.
That is Five for Fighting, and not one of the hits, but one of my favorites. I just love that song. Later on, I'll play you one of the hits before we get John on the air, and you'll go, oh, yeah, I know that song. Yeah. In fact, he's got his new hit, a song called Chances, is on the new album Slice. And if you saw the movie The Blind Side with Sandra Bullock, at the very end, you know, it's about this football player, a real football player, and who this, you know, a young black kid who was homeless, and this rich white family took him in, and he became this really good football player. So at the end of the movie, they have a video, a slideshow of his actual real photos of the real family. And John's song, Slice Chances, sorry, is playing over it. Anyway, you might recognize that too. It is Nicole Sandler here on RadioOrNot.com. Sarah Saylor of Earth Justice is going to be calling in. And so I've got to wait for her to call. She's the senior legislative representative for Earth Justice in Washington, D.C. And we're going to talk about this, what's going on with the EPA and Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, who wants to stop the EPA from regulating greenhouse gas emissions in the U.S. She says the worst scenario is for the EPA to do by regulation what Congress should do by legislation. She and other critics fear that EPA action will be blind to economic consequences while Congress can craft a more economically flexible system for controlling the pollution. The problem is Congress can't get anything done. They can't get anything through because we have the filibuster, and we'll get to the filibuster a little later on. Yeah. There's so much more to talk about today. I guess I could bring up a couple of quick stories while we're waiting for Sarah to call in. Maybe a little later on, we will get into the James O'Keefe and Acorn story. Oh, my God. I can't wait to hear what comes of this. But this one didn't get a whole lot of news. Do you remember the lieutenant governor in South Carolina, the guy who supposedly would take over if Sanford were impeached, if they got rid of the guy who likes to hike the Appalachian Trail? The lieutenant governor seems to be not any better than the governor. His name is Andre Bauer. And I guess he was trying to make a point that poor kids shouldn't receive reduced lunch in school. Right? Because in South Carolina, about half of all kids get free or reduced lunches. And here's what Sanford, Lieutenant Governor Andre Sanford of South Carolina, actually said.
My grandmother was not a highly educated woman, but she told me as a small child to quit feeding stray animals. You know why?
They never leave.
Because they breed. You're facilitating the problem. If you give an animal or a person ample food supply, they will reproduce, especially one that don't think too much further than that. And so what you've got to do is you've got to curtail that type of behavior. They don't know any better.
Unbelievable. This is an elected official. This is the lieutenant governor of the state of South Carolina. My grandmother was not a highly educated woman, but she told me as a small child to quit feeding those stray animals. You know why? Because they breed. You're facilitating the problem. If you give an animal or a person ample food supply, they will reproduce, especially ones that don't think too much further than that. And what you got to do is you got to curtail that type of behavior. They don't know any better. what is with South Carolina? There was a story in the Greenville Sun News. I hear there are some nice places in South Carolina, but why would anybody want to live there? And I know, you know, that there were a few stations in South Carolina that actually carried my show on Air America. I would love to hear from some of those people. I don't know how I do declare. Yes, they're good Christian folk. You know, we praise God, and but we don't want none of them poor people reproducing. So don't feed them, because maybe they'll die off. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. What else? I know I'm jumping around here. Sorry, my daughter just walked in the room. Okay. So anyway, we're waiting for Sarah Saylor to call in. And while we do, I'll run down some of these other stories that have flown over my desk. A new report by The Hill, you know, the newspaper, The Hill, finds that insurance companies have spent $38 million. They spent $38 million last year alone to influence the direction of the healthcare debate, including killing the public option and trying to stop all reform. Nice, right? That's not all lobbying money. That's not all the lobbying money that's gone to stopping reform. The Chamber of Commerce has spent $123 million lobbying against healthcare reform, environmental legislation, and progressive labor laws. You know, and this Supreme Court ruling of Thursday is just going to make more of this possible. In fact, did you see the guy? And before my computer crashed, I had all these windows open. And man, damn, if I don't have it here. And I know Tom Hartman had this guy on the air today who, give me my pen back. Excuse me one moment. Get out of here, please. I know, so professional. I'm sorry. I've got my one pen and my daughter comes in here to try to steal it. Anyway, what was I saying? I need to lock the door when I'm on the air. I know, I'm sorry. Anyway, there's a guy who is running. He is the human face of a corporation who's going to run. Yes, I know. Somebody in the chat room said Tom Hartman had this guy on. Had this guy on the air, who is the face of this corporation, who is going to run for Congress. Because if people have the, oh, you know what? I think I posted it on Facebook. If people have, if corporations have the same rights as people do in terms of First Amendment rights, and they're declared persons under law, then why can't they run for office? That's what I want to know. So here it is. Murray Hill Incorporated. I knew I had it here. Murray Hill Incorporated is running for Congress for the best democracy money can buy. This is great. You know what? And Krusty in the chat room is reminding me that the tax the rich measures passed big time in Oregon yesterday. We definitely want to get to that. And let me just give Sarah Saylor a few more minutes to call in. Hopefully she will. And we will talk about the EPA and what Lisa Murkowski of Alaska is trying to do. If she doesn't, maybe I'll get one of our Oregon listeners to call in and fill us in on what happened in Oregon last night. But it just shows, you know what? We have a lot of progressives in this country. We have a huge Democratic advantage. The problem is getting everyone out to vote. If everybody went out to vote, then it wouldn't be an issue. First of all, Scott Brown wouldn't be in the Senate. Right? Things would be different. We would get the kind of government that you and I fought for when we helped elect Barack Obama president. Right? So I don't know. We'll see. So back to this story. Until now, corporations only influence politics with high paid lobbyists and backroom deals. But today, thanks to an enlightened Supreme Court, corporations now have all the rights the founding fathers meant for us. That's why Murray Hill Incorporated is taking democracy's next step, running for Congress. It's a vision for the future we can all be proud of. And so they're running for the company. This is what great press for this company. This guy is very smart. Eric Hensel, who's the managing partner. I guess maybe he was the one who was on with Tom today. I didn't catch his name. But Murray Hill, Inc. is a progressive firm that works hard and smart to make sure our clients get the support they need. I don't know what kind of partnership it is, what kind of work they do. But they look to be a very progressive group. And I love this, that they're running for, the company is running for Congress on the Republican ticket, right? Because they can. After all, I'm gonna play the video and let's see what it says while we wait for Sarah to call in.
It's a new day. Till now, corporations influence politics with high-paid lobbyists and backroom deals. However, as much as corporate interests gave to politicians, we could never be absolutely sure they would do our bidding. But today, thanks to an enlightened Supreme Court, corporations now have all the rights the Founding Fathers meant for us. It's our democracy. We bought it, we paid for it, and we're going to keep it. That's why Murray Hill Incorporated is taking democracy's next step, running for Congress. The way we see it, corporate America has been the driving force behind Congress for years, but now it's time we got behind the wheel ourselves. Murray Hill Incorporated will bring enlightened self-interest and corporate accounting to government to put business first. It is a vision for the future we can all be proud of. Now that democracy is truly for sale, Murray Hill Incorporated is offering top dollar. Vote Murray Hill Incorporated for Congress for the best democracy money can buy.
That
I'm
is.
Eric Hensel, designated human for Murray Hill Incorporated. We approve this message.
That is great. I'm loving that. We'll have to get one of the human people behind Murray Hill Incorporated on the show one of these nights to talk a little more with us about that. I'll tell you what, I'm going to try to call Sarah Saylor. In the meantime, we'll play one of the great ones that maybe will inspire somebody, an actual human being out there, to run for office. It's Patti Smith on Radio or Not.
I'm dreaming, well of an aspect Shannon Valley's, where the pure air recognized in my senses, newly opened.
Patti Smith, people have the power here on Radio or Not.
Thank you.
Thank you, Patti. We need to remember that. And unfortunately, one of those people who did have the power has died. Howard Zinn, the Boston University historian and political activist who was an early opponent of U.S. involvement in Vietnam and a leading faculty critic of BU President John Silber, died of a heart attack today in Santa Monica, California, where he was traveling. His family said he was 87. Noam Chomsky was quoted as saying, his writings have changed the consciousness of a generation and helped open new paths to understanding and its crucial meaning for our lives. When action has been called for, one could always be confident that he would be on the front lines, an example and trustworthy guide. Sad news. Howard Zinn died today at the age of 87. All right. I promised you we would get a hold of Sarah Saylor, and I believe Sarah is on the line with us now. Sarah, are you there?
Yeah.
Terrific. All right. Now, Sarah Saylor is a senior legislative representative for Earth Justice in Washington, D.C., and as such, she advocates for clean energy, clean energy economy, energy efficiency solutions, and positive and lasting federal protections for our shared resources. And Sarah, tell us a little bit about Earth Justice. What do you guys do there?
Earth Justice is actually predominantly a law firm, and we go to court to make sure that our federal laws that protect the environment, like the Clean Water Act, the Clean Air Act, are actually enforced and upheld through the courts. So that's predominantly what Earth Justice's mission is, and we represent, mainstream environmental groups like the Sierra Club, but also local chapters of the, you know, local waterkeeper group or the local watershed society. So a lot of different public interest groups that we represent in court.
Now, how is, and the website is, by the way, earthjustice.org. How is Earth Justice funded? I mean, the planet obviously doesn't pay you.
Well, that's a good question. And our clients don't pay us either. We're entirely public, publicly funded, or privately funded, rather, through private donations and through foundation support as well. So we represent the public interest, and we also do that, you know, through donations, generous donations from the public.
Great. Okay. Yeah, because, well, the Earth needs protecting, so it's nice that you're out there doing this. Now, the Environmental Protection Agency just proposed stricter limits on the amount of ozone, pollution-forming ozone allowed in the air, significantly tightening the rules the Bush administration had set. But tell us what's going on. Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski is fighting this, isn't she?
Actually, what Senator Murkowski is fighting was an announcement by the agency, not even regulation by the agency, just an announcement by the agency that pollution that contributes to global warming is threatening human health and the environment, which is something that the American public has known for quite some time and something that scientists continue to tell us is becoming more and more dangerous as time goes on and as more and more evidence mounts about the case for global warming. So really what Senator Murkowski is attempting to do is overturn the scientifically based finding, almost put the cat back in the bag on global warming science, and we just think it's a wrong direction for us to head as a country, and it's actually contrary to the Clean Air Act, which is a law that folks know is built around protecting the public health.
Now, when the Bush administration put the Clean Air Act into effect, though, they, you know, it really wasn't very strong, was it?
That's also a great question. The Clean Air Act has actually been in effect since 1970. It was updated by Congress in 1990. Okay. And during the Bush administration, they fought very hard against releasing this information that has been mounting at EPA for quite some time, the scientific record on global warming, so much so that at one point in time, Earth Justice was involved in a case that ended up at the Supreme Court, and folks are probably familiar with the decision that came down in 2007 that said EPA, under the Clean Air Act, can act to reduce global warming pollution. So that, building upon that case that happened in the Bush during the Bush administration, and building on the scientific record that was continuing to amount during the Bush administration, the Obama administration is just finalizing this this finding.
Okay, all right. So where are we now? I know there was supposed to be some kind of fight this week in the Senate that Lisa Murkowski was fighting against. She wants to stop the EPA from regulating greenhouse gas emissions because she'd rather Congress do this?
She is saying that she'd rather Congress do it. However, we haven't seen action from Senator Murkowski. We've seen a lot of talk, but she is not actively engaging in the legislative process at this point. So that is puzzling. She wants to stop the existing tools that we have to fight the problem from going into effect, and she's not interested in giving new tools to address the problem. So what we're seeing, and she announced last week her intention to move forward with her plans, there was talk about perhaps an amendment strategy. She didn't pursue a vote last week, which we were fearful that she might, but she's definitely redoubling her efforts to try and stop EPA in its tracks.
Well, what's interesting is, I mean, here you have a Republican who's pushing for only legislative controls when, you know, right now the president is having a hard time getting anything through Congress because of the filibuster rule in the Senate. So yeah, she wants them to go through all the motions so it can be stopped dead by a filibuster.
Yeah, it does seem like she kind of wants to have it both ways, or she doesn't want to have it anyway at all. And I think what the administration is clearly signaling is that they have tools that are available now to fight global warming pollution. And, you know, we shouldn't let Senator Murkowski waive those laws so that big polluters can continue business as usual. You know, we just have to keep the existing protections in place. and build upon those protections, actually. Earth Justice favors legislation to address this problem. As you mentioned, it does run into, you know, several hurdles in Congress, and it's passed already. Legislation to control global warming pollution has passed already in the House. So really the biggest hurdle now is in the Senate. And with Senator Murkowski's help, we could pass global warming legislation in the Senate. But it doesn't seem by this action that she is interested in moving forward on that.
Right. She could be actually the 60th vote in the Senate to avoid a filibuster. But, you know, as we see with these people, you know, they say one thing and their tack seems to be just to put off getting anything done on any front.
Right.
So if the EPA has proposed stricter limits on ozone, what does have to happen? I mean, to get those rules through it, right now, it doesn't require legislation, does it?
No, not right now. The agency's action that can happen on ozone can move forward. And actually, you know, the concern is if Senator Murkowski is able to stop an EPA or an EPA decision like the endangerment finding on global warming pollution, can they also do a vote of no confidence on ozone pollution, which is there's a direct link between ozone pollution. Folks have probably heard the stories this week and asthma rates. Hmm. So, you know, definitely public health is at stake. And EPA found that global warming is also a risk to public health. Folks are probably familiar with some of those risks: increased heat waves, increased severe weather events, including droughts, as well as floods, increased strong weather events, which we saw just how devastating strong weather events can be when Hurricane Katrina struck New Orleans. So we just know that the writing is on the wall and that public health is at risk, and we need to move forward with the tools that we currently have available.
Sarah Saylor is with us. She's a senior legislative representative for Earth Justice, and find them at earthjustice.org. Now, let me ask you about what happened in Copenhagen. It was sort of a big disappointment, wasn't it? I know a lot of people had a lot put a lot of hope in the fact that something would get done there and the world might come together in a sort of a kumbaya moment and get something done. But in reality, not much happened, did it?
Well, I think expectations were lowered just even going into Copenhagen. So what came out, because some members of Congress actually signaled to the Obama administration, you know, we didn't get our work done. We didn't pass a climate bill in the Senate this year. So they really didn't want to see President Obama go and promise something that then the Senate would not be able to deliver. So now, really, the pressure is still on the Senate, because clearly, you know, folks are saying part of what led to not as big an agreement as we would have wanted to see in Copenhagen was the failure of the U.S. to have a law in place. Now, we could make commitments based on current law. We can make commitments that are as strong as what the Clean Air Act could do, the existing tools that we have available. But really, in order to get the reductions that we need additional tools. So, as I said before, we support additional tools to build upon the tools that already exist. But, and I think that the Copenhagen Accord, in recognizing that, you know, this is a big job, it's going to take more talks and more time for the world to come to agreement. Similarly, here in the U.S., we need to continue talking. Because the world agreement and the United States agreement, it's something that needs to happen hand in hand.
Right. Well, and now, as someone just posted in the chat room, there's something like 20 Republican senators who have said they no longer believe global warming is an issue. So how difficult is it going to be to get something through when you have these kind of attitudes and from people who are in the U.S. Senate?
Well, luckily we did have also, I think it was 17, maybe not quite 20, but close to 20, Democrats send a letter to President Obama, I believe just yesterday or possibly even today in advance of the State of the Union. And hopefully, you know, we've seen reports from the Obama administration that they're not backing away from their energy and climate legislation plans, that they've been pushing and prioritizing this issue for for quite some time since Obama took office a little over a year ago. And they know that these conversations are complicated, but they're committed to seeing these conversations move forward in the Senate. And I think it just reflects, you know, how important it is to pursue a comprehensive approach and to really deliberate and see the process moving forward. But we don't have time for these distractions, for what Senator Murkowski is saying, you know, let's move in the opposite direction. Let's pretend that EPA doesn't have any tools available to it when it really does. So really we need to see, you know, all hands on deck and moving this discussion forward and not wasting time, you know, debating, you know, tools that we already know are effective.
Right. But okay. But here's the next question is, what is the right way to go about it? Do you think cap and trade is the right way to move forward? I mean, I'd rather just see a straight carbon tax. Cap and trade, what that's going to do is create another huge money-making entity for another arm of Goldman Sachs.
That's, I think, what the Senate is looking at right now. I mean, what they've said all along, and you mentioned a carbon tax, is putting a price on carbon. We also need to see that pollution be reduced, and the Clean Air Act is an effective tool at reducing pollution. So as Congress looked in 1990 when they updated the Clean Air Act to address acid rain pollution, at that time was one of the major issues of the day in air pollutants that were contributing to acid rain that, you know, the Clean Air Act was helping to get at, but they designed a program specifically for acid rain in 1990. So that's really what Congress needs to do now, update the Clean Air Act to address climate change in a separate program, or at least a complementary program to the one that already exists.
Do you, Sarah Saylor with EarthJustice.org, do you think we are counting down until the President's State of the Union address at 9 p.m. Eastern tonight? Do you have any idea if the President will mention climate change, some of the issues that you guys are working on tonight? Do you think he will address it?
You know, the president has definitely used the, and I think rightfully so, we have a real opportunity to move to clean energy. And, mm-hmm. and that is the flip side of the climate dilemma, is, you know, a lot of the reason why we have climate change is clearly from our energy intensive reliance on fossil fuels, and the burning of fossil fuels creating a carbon blanket in the atmosphere that's warming up the planet. So if we switch and move to renewable sources, those that don't contribute to this pollution blanket, then you're looking at, you know, renewable energy. You're looking at wind and solar and some of the other renewable technologies that already exist. We just need to scale those up. So what you'll hear President Obama talk about is a clean energy future, and that is really the positive way of looking at it. And also energy efficiency. That's part of my role at Earth Justice as well. And this is a time in our economy where we know that we can do simple things, you know, definitely replacing those light bulbs. And those, you might see a small difference in your energy bill, but that's an economic solution that also helps out on the use of these destructive, you know, fossil fuel burning for our energy. So,
you know, but I also remember last year, I believe it was in his joint address to a joint session of Congress. It wasn't really State of the Union because he had just taken office. But he did mention changing the light bulbs, and he was mocked by the Republicans for suggesting that that would do anything.
Well, that is, I mean, it's just one example, but,
right.
You know, there's data to show, you know, a little bit goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
That's how this problem, you know, crept up on us to begin with. It was a little bit over a long period of time, you know, little investments and incentives for further dependence and over-dependence on foreign oil. And
yep.
So now it really is time to balance the scales, to make the investments that we need in the technologies of the future. And those need to be clean technologies so that we don't dig the hole deeper on climate change and that we do start to emerge in this global economy that is really moving to renewable energy.
Yeah, well, you know, what's really sad is if we had done, you know, people demean Jimmy Carter's presidency. And in many ways, you know, it was a failed presidency. But you just think, if the energy policies he started, he put in place, hadn't been killed by Jimmy Carter, just think where we'd be right now. We'd be at least 20% of our energy, I think it was by the year 2000 even, was going to be done by solar and wind, if I remember that correctly.
All the more reason to redouble our efforts now. Yeah, it is. It's a little disheartening to know that, you know, folks were challenging back in 1999 to have EPA make a scientific determination that global warming was threatening public health and the environment. It's taken quite some time, and sometimes it does take the government a long time to come around. But we think that the window of opportunity is still open. That the, you know, actually the condition of the economy right now could use investments, and we're starting to make those investments in energy technologies that are going to help address the climate problem and address our energy needs.
Big time.
Forward.
And hopefully when the president starts talking about jobs tonight, even though he did just say the other day, or we're hearing from the White House, there's going to be some kind of giant domestic spending freeze. I'm hoping, you know, I know that the big focus is going to be on jobs, and we really need an FDR style WPA, a public works thing. And instead of building roads and bridges, how about we build our green economy and start putting up solar towers and putting, you know, solar panels on roofs and doing things like that and putting people to work that way. That's what I think we need to do to fix a slew of problems all together.
Yeah, I think that you're right on the money there. And we can also, you know, avoid money down the drain.
Yep.
Now, right now, a lot of us are putting money down the drain because our homes aren't as efficient as they could be, or, you know, we don't have the most energy efficient appliances, or, you know, just even the way our energy infrastructure is designed is not as efficient. So we're paying for megawatts of electricity that run across a grid that's, you know, losing those megawatts. Those are not even, you know, hours of light in your light bulbs. Those are just lost electrons.
Yep. All right. Well, Sarah Saylor of Earth Justice, find them at earthjustice.org. We'll keep an eye on your site, and it was a pleasure talking with you. Thanks so much, and let's hope that the president does indeed put forth a plan like as we just discussed tonight.
Agreed, Nicole. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you. Okay, well, there you have it. We'll see what happens. But that's what's so frustrating. Jimmy Carter put solar panels up on the roof of the White House. Ronald Reagan took them down. Jimmy Carter had energy policies that would have had us really weaned off of foreign oil. And I think it was 2000. By 2000, we would have 20% of our energy domestically. And I don't have the facts and figures in front of me. I'm more a big picture person than knowing all the intricacies. But, you know, here we're told what a failed presidency he had, yet he was a diplomat, and he was very conscious of the dangers of our addiction to foreign oil, and he did so much to try to fix that and to get us off of it. And Ronald Reagan undid it all. You know, in the weeks leading up to the election, I was the token liberal on a right-wing conservative station down here in South Florida. They had me on the morning show for the 2 weeks leading up to the election. And on November 5th, the morning after, that was my last day because Obama was elected on the 4th. And then I was invited back on November 5th, and that was my last day. Well, on that day, Dennis Miller came in. And Dennis Miller, is now Mr. Right Wing Wacko and doing a radio show. I guess he figured there's more money to be had being a conservative than being a liberal. So he was doing a show in South Florida for the radio station. I guess in payment for them carrying his show, he agreed to do one live, you know, stand up show in town a year. And so he was in the radio station to do his radio program from there and doing the live show that night. So he came in on the morning show to be a guest for a few minutes and to promote it. And we started talking, you know, on the air. We're talking about the election. And I mentioned something to the effect of, well, you know, things were going okay until Ronald Reagan screwed everything up. And, you know, he's like, what are you talking about? Because, you know, you say anything bad about Ronald Reagan to a right winger, and it's like you just killed Jesus. You know, he's their God. And I started explaining all the things that Ronald Reagan had done wrong, all the things that Ronald Reagan had done, starting with his massive tax cuts to destroy the economy and to start this country on its downhill slide. And it got so ugly. He got so nasty with me. And then he started talking to the other people in the room about me like I wasn't there. And then after the show, the management wanted me to go apologize to him. Oh, my God. Well, I got to tell you, on this, I told you we have John Ondrasik coming in to talk about this new CD he's got out. He's got a series of them, For the Troops, where the money goes to For the Troops, duh. And one of the clips on here is from Dennis Miller. Now, it is not political. It's not, you know, the new Dennis Miller. It's more of the old Dennis Miller, but still, I won't play that for you. John Ondrasik will be joining us, I think, somewhere, in about 15 or 20 minutes. I am hoping somebody will be calling in any moment now from the Talk Radio News Service, at talkradionews.com, with a quick update on what's going to, happen tonight, what happened in the world today. But just to keep you up to date on what's happening tonight, this is Nicole Sandler coming to you live at radioornot.com. I usually do the show. Actually, now, no, I did not apologize to him. Don't worry about that. No, Dennis Miller hates me with a passion. Anyway, usually I'll be doing the show Monday through Thursday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern. And but tonight I'm going to stay on. All right. We'll stay on through the 8 o'clock hour and bring you the State of the Union address beginning at 9 Eastern. We will be live blogging, I guess we can call it, live commenting in the forum at radioornot.com. So I hope you will go over there, check out the forum, get registered, because you do have to register to post. And I'll keep the microphone on while the president is speaking, because I'm sure I'll have some snarky, snide remarks to make while he's talking. And I want your comments, too. By the way, yes, we are also at Tom Hartman's chat room. We do have two chat rooms going, the one at the Ustream feed. And if you go to radioornot.com, you'll get it right through the website. The other one is at tomhartman.com. You can go in the chat room there. I'm doing my best to keep up with both of them, but I'm also trying to speak. And you can pretty much tell when something in one of the chats catches my eye, because I totally lose my train of thought. I know this is not the best way to do radio, but, you know, we're getting there. We're working on it. Anyway, one of the things we need to do is during the speech. Now, I can't drink, first of all, because I'm on the air. Second of all, I'm, you know, trying to diet. But whatever your vice of choice is, if you want to drink along, what we're working on is what are the triggers to take a drink during the State of the Union? Jobs might be one. All right. Jobs, certainly, because that's going to be a big one. Right. Another one, though, is bipartisan. I think we'll have to, if somebody wants to take the job of keeping a running toll on these things, do it. Another one, that a word that he's pulled out of the arsenal in recent days is fight or fighting. I'm fighting for you. I'll be fighting for you. I have a feeling that's going to be a big one too. So I'll be taking your suggestions. See, someone, dear Prue in the Tom Hartman chat wrote fighting for you. I think that's, there's going to be a lot of that. So, you know, some people choose not to drink. Some people like to, you know, well, they have the prescriptions for the medical marijuana. Go for it. Or you can do it like me, and we can make bets on which one, you know, what is going to be the most used phrase. Right now I'm saying, I say fight. I think fight will outnumber jobs. But that's what I'm thinking.